The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no human being must separate." In the house of the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And the people were bringing their children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, and placing on his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Marriage and the sacrament of marriage and the institution of marriage, the understanding of marriage, and also the attack on marriage. How do we define marriage today? How do we defend marriage within today's culture? How do we support marriage as a lasting union of love according to the plan of God? All important questions. I've given so many wedding homilies over the last 13 years, and when I sit and try to write the words that will hopefully guide the couple who's about to begin their sacramental married life, I always try to finish with this notion: help your spouse to get to heaven. I want to talk about this sacrament today, but I also want to acknowledge something Jesus points out that is probably a bigger problem, not only then, but certainly now. The problem of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. As the reason for Moses offering the option of divorce, a condition that points to an inability to know and live the teachings of God in regards to anything. This hardness of heart, a kind of stubbornness, a blindness, the ego taking the place of truth and logic, the hardness of heart that is often the self taking the place of God. What is marriage? A lasting union of man and woman, bound together in an indissoluble bond, joined together by God's grace, given the purpose and the commandment to love one another and to be open to the gift of life, called to be witnesses to the world of the desire to be good, to do good, to serve in charity, to help their spouse to achieve the joy of heaven. What God has joined, no human being will separate. This covenant of marriage is for life. So how does the question of separation and divorce then ever come up within marriage? Well, there are several things that bring up this question of separation. And there's no way to create an exhaustive list. Sometimes it comes down to the inability to totally trust God's plan. It's often selfishness instead of self-gift. Or thinking, what can I get out of this instead of what can I offer my beloved spouse? Unfortunately, there is the terrible reality of violence in marriage and the danger of abuse. Or there are episodes of no communication, no prayer, no love, and even for some, eventually, no God. It can be a terrible burden to live life thinking that you are God. And this sometimes becomes a great reality of the married life in our secular world. Even something that the popes of the history have talked about. There is what Pope Paul VI, for example, and many of the popes after him, called the contraceptive mentality. He talked about this in an encyclical he wrote on not just marriage, but the problem of contraception within marriage. But he talked about, since the early 1960s, the use of contraception in marriage that has become the norm now. Paul VI wrote this encyclical prophesying that contraception, if it becomes the norm in marriage and any relationship, here are some things that could happen. A rise in divorce. A rise in the objectification of women. And also a lowering in the appreciation and dignity of women. A rise in the use of pornography and other gravely distorted views of sex and sexuality. And over everything, he said, there would just be a general lowering of morale in the world and morality. It comes from this misguided notion, he says, that I can have what I want. I can be God. But what do we know about marriage as revealed to us by God? What do we know actually about the spiritual life and every vocation that God calls us to? What can it actually be if we recognize the truth that God has established the sacrament for the good of the spouses, for the good of the church, and for the good of the world? Pope Benedict XVI, he reflected on this often during his life as a bishop and as pope. In a homily he gave, he used some thoughts from a friend of his, St. John Paul II. It'd be cool to have a friend who's a saint. Maybe one of these days, that could be one of us. I could say one day, I knew Saint so-and-so from St. Joseph's Parish in Norman, Oklahoma. We'll see. I pray that it's so. So Pope Benedict was reflecting on the words of Pope John Paul II in one of his great writings called On Family Life, Familiaris Consortio. So this is what Pope Benedict said about marriage. Your vocation is not easy to live, especially today, but the vocation to love is a wonderful thing. It is the only force that can truly transform the cosmos, the world. You have before you the witness of so many families who point out the paths for growing in love by maintaining a constant relationship with God and participating in the life of the church, by cultivating dialogue, respecting the other's point of view, by being ready for service and patient with the failings of others, by being able to forgive and to seek forgiveness, by overcoming with intelligence and humility any conflicts that may arise, by agreeing on the principles of upbringing, and by being open to other families, attentive to the needs of the poor and responsible within civil society. These are the elements that build up the family. Live them with courage. And be sure that, insofar as you live your love for each other and for all with the help of God's grace, you become a living gospel, a true domestic church. No more should we walk with a hardness in our hearts, but with joy. What Pope Benedict was talking about was living this gospel of life, living within this desire to love, a love that wants to proclaim the gospel to the world, the gospel of love. Be open today and every day to the will of God for your life. Don't let ego or the temptation towards selfishness or the desire to be your own God lead you to forget the joy of being a child of God, a son and daughter of the Father, a disciple of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.